Hello, beautiful people, and happy Wednesday. Welcome back to the Connect podcast. How are we all doing? Because we're really still living like this, eh? I was interviewing a friend the other day, and I remember saying that we missed peak summer months here in the Southern Hemisphere, like 2 months that we've been in like a lockdown sort of situation here in Kenya. And I'm feeling some type of way because I really like summer. And I wanted a hot girl summer, word to Meg Thee Stallion. But here we are, almost at the end of April. We are into the grey days and rainy nights, and it feels like seasonal affective disorder is slowly kicking in. And seasonal depression is basically a mood disorder that occurs during climates where there's less sunlight at certain times of the year. And so winter's coming. Now, out of all of the things in life that I love, sunlight is pretty much at the top of that list. And it's followed by great stories, weather conversation, movies, music, history. Stories and storytelling are vital to our very existence and make me feel whole. I mean, think about it. Our identity is based on a story, whether it's ours or the people around us or society. We make sense of ourselves this way. And it doesn't matter where you are from, it's universal. Just like our brain detects patterns from what we see, it also detects patterns in the information that we receive. In the patterns of stories, we find meaning. Storytelling is a powerful means of fostering social cooperation and teaching social norms. Now, if you look back on growing up and the stories that you would read or someone would read to you or that you would hear, the topics were about empathy and exercising caution and justice and being kind to one another and so much more. They help us be better people on some level, you know, and they help us feel seen, which is really important. Now, in my mind, storytelling holds, it's split between two things. What it was in our histories, and where we are and where we want to go. Lately, I've been thinking quite a lot about history and the stories that are passed down to us about where we are from, our ancestors, our parents, and how that helps us find belonging, a sense of home, a sense of identity. Now, I've never seen a photo of my mom as a kid. My dad, however, I have. I can't tell you what my parents' homes looked like growing up. There are no family heirlooms or items that connect to a funny story. The most prized possessions that I have ever received really are stories. And who better to receive them from than the tongues of those that hail from the nation of poets? So shout out any Somali person that's listening to this. We're nomadic by nature, so being uprooted is not that new. However, the difference here is that when a civil war begins and people flee, when people are in a state of survival, you're not thinking about the future. You're not thinking about, oh yeah, let me grab this photo right here. It's a now or never thing. So I got what many of us first generation elsewhere kids get. Secondhand nostalgia for a place we don't know yet, want to connect with on some level and make sense of ourselves. I remember growing up, I grew up with both my grandparents, and the wrinkles on my grandmother's hands, the bullet wound on her knee, her nightly self-care routine that also involved my tiny feet walking all across her back. These are the places where I found myself, the tiny little corners of our home. I found beauty in her stories that wasn't conventional. My grandfather's stories, however, were on history and politics, our lineage, the importance of our name. That gave me, you know, that boldness and pride to call myself Somali and always introduce myself as Somali, even as like a little kid in an all-white private Danish school. All I was missing was my little fist in the air, but stories made me feel bold, made me feel alive and connected. And now we're in the middle of a pandemic and minority communities in the West are being hit really, really hard. People that survived war, fled persecution and oppression, people that hold our histories in their memories. And so a part of me just wants to cry every time I hear another elderly Somali person has passed away, a prominent figure has succumbed to this virus, and the other part of me just very naively hopes that someone had transcribed what their eyes had seen and minds had stored away, you know? I quite often think about, how do we know who we are without our histories? Who are we without our histories even? So now I've slowly started taking down the stories of people around me, not just through this podcast, but I'm writing letters to my future children and I guess their children, which is super weird because that isn't happening anytime soon. But in a weird way, incredibly comforting too, that they won't have as many questions as I have that can't get answered. I'm putting together the stories of my parents and my sister and hopefully extended family once I get more time. It's important to solidify our existence, not just for ourselves, but also for the world to come. Now, that's the one part of storytelling that is very, I guess, sentimental to me and means the world. Now, I said that for me, storytelling comes in two parts, right? The past, our histories, where we come from, and then where we are, and the future, and where we want to go. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've been told that your English is so good, or that they didn't expect you to do so well, or to have the thoughts that you have? You know, the condescending compliments masked with polite, tight-lipped smiles because you broke some ceiling you weren't even aware existed. And that's because it was in their minds, just so. Now, a couple of years ago, I went to a panel talk, and on this panel talk was prominent activist Boniface Mwangi. And I don't remember what the exact quote was, but it was something to the effects of, if you do not tell your stories, then other people will shape a narrative of you and proliferate it. We see that happening all the time. I see that happening as a Muslim, I see that happening as a woman, I see that happening as a Somali, as an African, the intersections of some of these, of all of them, I see it all the time. The first thing that I find super important about storytelling is that it is a silent form of advocating for yourself and other people, doing justice by the person that you are, whether on a national scale or even taking on the elephants in a room or within the confines of your home. If you do not tell the world who you are, then the real you was never seen, and that's just heartbreaking to me. The second important thing about storytelling that I've found is that I think working in the humanitarian sector, being someone that knows that my purpose on this earth is meant to be being in service of other people, being a Muslim, storytelling and empathy are two sides of the very same coin. Some people would even say that empathy drives storytelling. But empathy is storytelling. Storytelling is about a shared experience. It transports us into someone else's life, even if it's only for a moment. And that being able to see yourself in someone else's story is what empathy really is, right? Empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is when you feel for someone. Empathy is when you feel with them. This level of stepping out from ourselves fosters curiosity and exercises and molds our mind to be more open and to perceive the world differently than we did before we heard that story or watched that movie or seen that documentary. And empathy is really difficult. It teaches us to not give up on one another, to embrace our flaws, to be understanding of other people's flaws. It expands our ideas of who we are and who we're capable of becoming. Empathy leaves us with a feeling. It doesn't dictate or instruct us on how to feel. How many movies or documentaries or stories have we seen that where someone's being treated really unfairly and we come out absolutely raging. That wasn't happening to us. But we're still enraged, right? We see a protective figure righting a wrong in a movie and we're like championing them on and we're like, yes. Even with the movie The Joker that came out late last year, was it? And there were all of these debates about how people could feel empathy towards the main character. Well, if we understand the story and we see what mental illness can push people to do, we're not excusing it, but you can still feel with the person. You see, the story is universal. However, our methods of telling stories have changed over the years. The invention of printing press gave way to periodicals and novels in the 15th century. The invention of the motion picture camera gave way to the development of feature films in the early 20th century. Invention of television in the 1920s gave us our beloved sitcoms. The 20th century were the era of mass media, TV, newspapers, magazine, movies, music, and people began consuming on a level that wasn't seen before. But what else would they do, if you think about it? These were stories that people resonated with, that people found joy in, solace in, stories that were informing them of what was happening around them. And they came in a predictable manner. You know, magazines, fortnightly, newspapers, daily, your favorite TV show once a week, whatever it may be. And then we get the internets, and now we can morph any form of mass media. It doesn't follow any sequence. It's not predictable. We interact with it how we want. We command it as we want. And now we've entered an era where we can be immersed in it. What a time to be alive. Personally, I'm not a fan of the potential repercussions of virtual realities, and I don't think that I'm going to get into the ethics of AI and VR today, but I'm pretty sure it has a lot to do with VH1 playing a lot of Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity in this one particular year growing up. I'm just saying, you know. And so when I implore people to document, whether it be in a selfie, whether it be in journaling, when I ask people to write themselves into existence, I do it because it has helped me in so many ways, and I want it to help you as well. So these are some of the ways that storytelling has helped me. It's helped me to heal. Now, every one of us has a story on the days where something's weighing really, really heavy on you. Let it out, call someone up, write it down. If you're really, really creative, create a series of like paintings about it. I don't know. But I do know that vulnerability is all about embracing the discomforts. And once you've faced the most uncomfortable parts of you, the darkest parts of you, there is nothing on this earth that can make you feel fearful. It is so powerful. It's helped my confidence. Whether it be publicly speaking, whether it be my really like reflective and introspective captions on Instagram or my blog posts or my social commentary, exposing my true self, being seen, can be really, really scary. It's not something that I enjoy, but it's something that I continuously dive into because being really honest and vulnerable in front of people, that helps me connect to people in a way that I can't otherwise. Because what I realize from the messages that I get or the emails that I get from people is that I may be doing it as a form of therapy, but it's making other people feel heard. It's helping people find the words that they didn't have for something that they were feeling. It's making them feel seen. And so as much as I do what I do for me, once it leaves my mind, once it leaves my hands, once it's on this vast black hole of the internet that we're on, it's not about me. It's about what it can do for other people. And finding my purpose in that has built my confidence and has helped me find my voice and taught me how to express myself better. Now, our life stories are the greatest superpower that we have, our empathy, our vulnerability. You have gotten here somehow. All of those trials and tribulations are a great reminder of who you are and what you're capable of, but they can also help inspire others. Telling my story has also helped me become a lot more comfortable in my own body, this body of ours that is meant to keep us alive and process our emotions and protect us and shelter. Like, it does so much for us, and so many of us battle existing in it. And the more that I embrace all of the things that I don't like about myself, or the things that scare me or make me feel uncomfortable, the more I feel more at home. It's like becoming more aligned to yourself. We're shedding so much of ourselves outside. We're telling our story, and you're showing the real you in all of your nakedness, metaphorically, of course. But if you are a person that loves to be naked, then that's great as well. But people see you for the real you. You're not hiding anything. You're not editing. You're not dismissing anything about your journey or how you're feeling. Your darkest parts meet the light, and you can let go anything that felt too heavy. You can accept anything that was uncertain, and you can be on a journey to be a better you. And I think my favorite part about telling my story is finding my tribe and my community. True belonging, which equals true empowerment. People who see you for you and accept you for you. People who share your values. People who are like-minded and are great for your soul. And I think that I also need to shout out all of the people that I know and love. Now, a lot of the time people shy away from telling their stories because it's so personal. And people get afraid of the judgment of being too honest. But isn't it a lot scarier to leave this entire world having left nothing of yourself behind? It's like you were here and then you weren't here. Storytelling is one of those things that can be so radical that it changes people's mentalities. It can save people in the silence of a night. It can provide comfort, laughter. It is the mechanism that plays on all of our heartstrings. And I believe that it's something that we all need to learn how to nurture, that we shouldn't run away from. Because if we run away from telling our stories, we run away from being. I hope that this will make you consider writing more, or recording yourself speak if you don't like writing, or speaking to the people around you more about things that matter, about what makes them them. Document yourselves. Write yourselves into the history books, but most of all, have a wonderful rest of a Wednesday. My name is Ghali, and I hope that wherever you're tuning in from, that there is light and love in your life, and I will speak to you next Wednesday. Bye!